WMFO, 10 a.m. at WMFO Medford. Mike on the mic here. How you doing? Thanks for tuning in today. Really appreciate that. Let me tell you what I played in that last set. It was a 1, 2, 3, 4 song set that time. Okay. Hey, we can twist and turn if we need to. New Noise was, I really like that. I don't know a whole lot about Hozier, but I like it. This is a great band. 2019 release from something called Wasteland, baby. To noise making. That was great. And speaking of great, classic from Queen, from their News of the World CD. That was It's Late. Crazy, huh? Chantal McGregor, our friend from the UK, from her record called Lose Control, that was Take the Power. And Elvis Presley. We played Elvis Presley because we lost a member of a band that, well, not a band, but a bunch of musicians that played on so many tracks. They were known as the Wrecking Crew. And we lost a guy named Hal Blaine, who played in the Wrecking Crew on so many great songs. And that was just one of them, Return to Sender, by Elton. I was going to say by Elton John because I'm an Elton John fanatic. But it was Elvis Presley. Same letter, you know what I mean? That's just what I do. All right, so 10:01, smiling across the way from me is my new friend, Roberta Lamb. Hi.
Hi, Mike.
How are you?
I'm excellent. How are you?
Pretty good. Do you want to put the headphones on to make it easier for the...
Sure.
I just always offer. Just make sure it's not going to blast your ears off the controls right there. Yeah, can you hear me okay? Not too bad, right?
It's great.
All right. So, Roberta, this is your first time to Fabulous Studio A.
It's very amazing. I'm impressed. A lot of vinyl in here.
In the other room, too. I don't know if you saw it. There's more and more and more of it.
Pictures and all kinds of celebrities that have been here. So I'm happy to grace this mic.
Yeah. I mean, Tufts is legit. I mean, we've got turntables. We've got CD players. We've got a cassette player even down there. It's been this has been going since 1973, I think.
It's amazing.
So it's amazing.
And they've got you.
Yeah, it's the only thing that's gone wrong so far.
No.
I'm the black sheep of WMFO.
Wait, I'm the sheep. I get that one.
Oh, yeah. See? Yeah, that's very good. I suppose you've never heard that before.
Oh, all the time.
Yeah, just like if I go and I'm on a plane, somebody will say, hello, Newman. I mean, every single time.
Right.
So you must get the same kind of...
Well, you could call me Chops if you're giving me a compliment on my playing.
Okay. She's got chops. It just never ends.
Right.
So
just don't call me Stu.
No, I won't. I would never. So you are a local singer-songwriter, and you gig a lot around here in Massachusetts and Rhode Island.
I try.
And it's just... we just met, but it's obvious that you just love doing this.
100%. I'm on fire, having a blast.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what else can you ask for?
Mm-hmm.
So, as I was telling you before, as I lean back in my chair with my corncob pipe, let me just let it pipe up. And so, Roberta, tell me about your childhood. How did you, what influenced you? How did you, what did you listen to growing up? What did your parents play for you? And where do you hail from? Are you from around here? Because I know you have some history over across the pond, too, that we'll talk about.
Sure. Well, I'm originally from Dallas, Texas.
Okay.
And my parents, originally from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, from Squirrel Hill, actually. I don't know if I'll sing a song I wrote about my dad. But let's see. My parents were very interested in lots of different music, and they brought home all kinds of music from islands. They brought us home like metal drums that they would bring home from trips. They went to New Orleans all the time. They loved, you know, Louis Armstrong, Al Hurt. They'd bring home the Ink Spots. But then I think as a kid, I listened, of course, to the popular music of the day. I was the youngest of four, so I had one far older sibling who was sort of Kingston Trio era, then followed by a sister who was an Elvis person. But then, of course, we were more influenced by everything else, you know, rock and roll.
So I can see what's happening here. You grew up in a musical family, including the siblings.
Including the siblings. And then there was a lot of Spanish music, Mexican music. And in elementary school, I picked up my first guitar at age 8. And
sure, in Texas.
Learned songs in Spanish. And we'd go traveling, and I'd haul around my little Goya guitar to the beach and get a tan, and people would think that I was native.
See, I can see how this happened to you. What a wonderful thing, because it starts at the top with your parents being a musical household, and all four of you siblings just getting the bug.
It was fun.
Yeah. Do any of your other siblings perform around as well, or just you?
I'm afraid I'm the one that's, you know, crazy enough to do this. Uh-huh. They love music, but I have a brother who was a stage director.
Okay.
And had a show on Broadway and did things like that, but went into health professions later, became a therapist. Of course, you need to be a shrink to like direct actors, right?
I couldn't possibly say. I don't know. So you've got a guitar with you today, but do you play any other instruments, or is that your main thing?
I play a little piano. I was in an accident once a long time ago, so I have some limitations. So my piano isn't, I don't have a full range of motion, but that's a good excuse to not play. I've picked up the viola, and maybe one day I'll play some fiddle. I don't know if I keep at this track.
Hey, you never know. I mean, but yeah, I started with piano as well, and it's a different thing with me. As I get older, the arthritis, it's harder to play.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
So when was the first time that you played in front of an audience?
I think really little. I guess piano lessons when,
it's a big
when
deal,
I was
right?
five. Yeah.
Well, that's just in front of your teacher. Like, how about...
Well, right. And then I was a music major in college.
Okay.
I mean, of course, I did all kinds of musical theater and
that's so cool.
concert choir and a cappella choir and things like that in middle school and high school and college, too.
So you were singing, not playing in like the school band or something?
No, I went to a girls' school. We didn't have a band, but we did have a concert choir, and
okay.
I was very active in that. And then in college, I was a music major, so I
awesome.
Sang with the orchestra and like sang Verdi. And well, you didn't get to that, but I decided to get into opera and classical singing when I went away to college. I said, oh, well, to heck with musical theater and all this choral stuff. I'll just go for broke.
I'm going to expand my horizons big time.
Yeah.
Where was college?
Well, I started off at George Washington University, which I didn't really...
My brother went there, too.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I didn't think I would really study music, but then I sort of fell into it, and having been a product of this girls' school where I had a pretty strong voice, and I was always cast as the male roles. I was either males or ladies of the night or witches or evil people or whatever it was. And of course, what did it make me only want to be was the ingenue. And then when I went off to college, my first teacher said, my dear, you are a soprano. And I was just, you got to be kidding.
So
it's like, now I get to sing all the fun stuff, the divas that die of consumption and everyone cries. And I said, oh, that's what I want
to
do.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome to be able to control people however you do it. I'm all over that.
So it was fun. So I kind of rode that one out for a while until I realized that that's a really tough row to hoe. So, how many sopranos really make it in the world? There's a famous joke about how many sopranos does it take to screw in a light bulb?
Yeah.
One to screw in the light bulb and nine to kick her chair down.
So, did the path in college lead you across the pond to Austria?
It did.
Wow.
So I sort of completed all the music requirements for the music major and, performance and harmony. I was minored in piano. This was before I had this accident.
Yep.
And then I had the joy of going overseas with my parents end of my junior year, and by happenstance met my amazingly most favorite singer, Diva, who had just done a farewell tour, and I happened to have heard her in D.C., and then she happened to be staying, believe it or not, at my hotel.
So those things are just...
It's crazy. I was 20.
Kismet,
right.
Yeah.
So I went up to the concierge at the hotel, and I said, I'd like to get tickets for her concert tonight. He said, oh, of course it's sold out, but she's staying at the hotel. So I penned her a letter and bought her 2 dozen roses, and then she phoned our room, and she asked to speak with Miss Pearl. My father answered the phone, and my father said, let me get you Mrs. Pearl. No, not Mrs. Pearl. Mm. I'd like to speak with Miss Pearl. So anyway, then she got me on the phone. She said, meet me in the lobby at like 7 o'clock. And I rode in the taxi with her to the church, listened to her vocalize, talked with her about how she handles like negative reviews, blah, blah, blah. She put a chair in front of the front row, right in the middle, had them add a chair in the church, sang to me, and then later on met with me and met with my parents and basically told my parents that they were completely wasting their money paying for me to finish out, you know, a science requirement at an American university. I should go to Europe and study, blah, 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 blah. And my father, you know, raised his eyebrows and then said, of course, darling, whatever. And my mom said, are you kidding? So anyway, and off I went, and then I lived there for 4 years. So
4 years?
Yeah.
What a beautiful place that is.
It is amazing. Although, you know, you do miss America, you know. There's something wonderful about here.
I mean, I'm just thinking, you know, my reference to that is the hills are alive. Right. I mean, you know, anybody who's not been there.
It is stunningly beautiful.
Stunning.
And the antiquity was so amazing for a Texan, you know, to see these, you know, very, very ancient traditions. And
anywhere that Americans travel in Europe, you get a sense that we're not the be-all end-all on this planet.
It was very humbling.
Yeah, it's very humbling.
But it did make me really appreciate our wonderful country. So I was really happy to sort of come back at the end of this time and then sort of figure out what I would do, and then, you know, had some course changes.
So besides gigging around all over the place, what did you end up doing for a real day job?
So I actually became a health professional.
Okay.
So actually, you know, I was talking about alluding to this car accident that I was in. So, you know, and then I was like lying there trying to figure out what on earth I should be doing to get better. And, you know, I love food and singers love food and that's how it goes, right?
So everybody loves food.
Everybody loves food. Yeah. And it seemed at the time, although I was so young, I thought, oh, it's a little late for medical school. I don't know what I was thinking, but whatever. I was like all of 24, almost 25.
Right.
But anyway, so I said, well, I'll pursue this path. And then went back and redid, you know, a full bachelor's in science and then a master's in public health and did that for a long time. And, you know.
Look, it's a good thing to have a real profession to...
It was great. You know, I've helped a lot of people. It's nice to be on the other side of the stage, you know, really, like, of service, you know?
Yes. Did you... Absolutely. Did you stop playing or singing or performing during that time?
No.
Studying and everything?
Well, I didn't do very much, but I, of course, always did things with my children's schools, you know, like what they wanted to do in opera, of course. I helped get that whole thing off the ground.
Course.
We did, of course, the magic flute, this and that. Yes. And then I actually... I was a soprano soloist in churches and sang the Messiah and all the, you know, every year I would sing Easter, I would sing Brahms Requiem and all that sort of thing. And then I started an opera company here in Boston. That was
crazy. I mean, is this one life we're talking about here, or what?
I have a lot of anecdotes. We can
overachiever.
Well, anyway, so I started this opera company because I came to Boston and I was sort of surprised that everything seemed so siloed. It seemed like everything that people did was already predetermined. Who would be the cast? And I said, we got to blow this open here. So I named the opera company Opera Aperta, which means open. And the idea was really to promote the careers of young singers. And a lot of people came who maybe had graduated a few years prior, but hadn't really gotten a break. And then suddenly we could showcase them in a translated into English comedy that we did in the summer. And then I got grants because I have a public health degree and, you know, figured out how to get some money to get seniors in for, you know, for the dress rehearsals. So it was kind of a win-win.
Wow.
And some of these young people like went on to like sing at the Chicago Lyric Opera in New York and pretty.
See, bottom line, you speaking of open, I mean, you opened up an opportunity for so many people.
Well, I mean, it wasn't really me. You know, there were these amazing conductors and stage directors who were just so gifted. They wrote the most hilarious translations, but they were really musically very highbrow. It was the Emmanuel Music Union Orchestra. So I learned how to negotiate union contracts. I learned a little bit on the job. But it wasn't really me. It was just all of these talented people. It was a whirlwind.
So where are you with opera these days? Because I just asked because the music that I know that we're going to feature today and your influences are not that.
Right.
So where are you with opera today?
Well, I listen and I occasionally go. And there is a song that I wrote that I was very influenced by a Brahms song. It's not opera, but it's, you know, concert singing leader that has some reference to poetry that Brahms used. You know, they would borrow from Schiele and all these amazing poets. So it was, I mean, I listen and I think it's in my head and in my ears all the time.
Okay.
So, but yes, I'm not really singing opera. But Well, I will say that once I went to an open mic last year on Mother's Day. This is funny. And I actually sang the Brahms lullaby in German with a very skilled pianist.
Uh-huh.
And some of the, like, the people that I'm always, like, so intimidated, like, my knees shake when they're sitting in the audience, mm-hmm. they came up later and said, "Oh, that was so amazing."
Good
sometimes I think, well, maybe one day I'll do a little classical throw in.
Mm. As long as you have my vote. I
too
think
weird,
should.
You know.
So let's just sort of segue into how. See, because when I have somebody here for the first time, and I've done this with you, I've asked you to tell me about your influences, your musical influences, and as I just alluded to, they're not, you know, opera. They're not that kind of music at all. Carla Bonoff and Jackson Browne. So how did we get from there to here? How did we do that?
Well, I just started listening to things that were very melodic. You know, of course, we're all James Taylor, Carole King, Beatles, mm-hmm. all this kind of stuff. And somehow, you know, nowadays how everything sort of, it's weird. I think Carla Bonoff was during what I call my blackout years, like when I was in Austria. I never heard this stuff. And the same with Jackson Browne. I never heard it until
really?
Now. So it's all really new to me. But, right. So somehow it sort of started popping up on my... I would listen maybe to something, Linda Ronstadt. Then I realized that most of Linda Ronstadt's wonderful songs were written by Carla Bonoff. Then I went to hear her. And then she spoke about Jackson Browne. So,
gotcha.
You know, you just sort of fall into this...
So there really is a path. So would you say these influences... are from what point in your life? When did you start listening to Carla Bonoff and Jackson Browne?
In the past, you know, year and a half, couple of years at most, you know. I've really been kind of listening to this and then I just got deeper and deeper into it. And I love the harmonic, you know, progressions and the melodies. They're so beautiful, you know, so.
It's just very interesting, you know, because we're going to play the two tracks that you identified as influences. It's just interesting to see you picked them as influences, you know, why. And then as we hear your music,
mm-hmm.
sort of listen to see if we can hear some of that in you.
Well, and Jackson Browne is like so sophisticated with lyrics and so forth. So
he's
amazing. He's a poet.
He's identified many, many times when people tell me about influences.
It's
many, many
amazing.
Times.
He's done a lot of amazing work, you know, for the universe.
Oh God, yeah. And what a long career. So let's talk about these influences.
Sure.
Let's start with Carla.
Okay.
Because I know a lot about Jackson Browne. I don't know a whole lot of Carla Bonoff. But, you know, I listened to this track when you gave it to me the other day. And it's called Falling Star. Why did you hone in on this one?
It was just so beautiful.
Okay. It is beautiful.
It's one of those. Those are the ones that I love the most. The ones that sort of ache, you know, tug at your heart. And it's just one of those. And it's got these, you know, beautiful sustained notes, you know, sostenuto, right?
Oh.
That, you know, just amazing. So it's kind of a vocal piece too, but it has rhythm, you know, like some driving. It has a lot of contrast. And then it's got these beautiful suspended chords that just, you know, they just sort of touch you in a way that transports you in a way. At least does that to me.
For the listening audience, I know you can't see... Roberta, she's smiling ear to ear, talking about, you know, when she mentions the song and what it means to her. Leaving Winslow by Jackson Browne. Talk about that one a little bit.
Well, it's just, it has a little bit of, you know, sort of a country feel, country rock. And it's funny. I love his sense of humor. Has a reference to Take It Easy. So it's sort of his answer to Take It Easy.
Okay.
And so it's funny. I mean, actually, I often play as part of a duo with Kenny Seltzer.
Right.
And we do this one together. That's why I'm not going to do this one today.
Okay.
But it's really amazing. It sort of shows off his amazing prowess doing beautiful harmonies with me, but also really cool riffs and guitar solos. And we made a little jokey thing where we took a picture of Winslow, Arizona, and just photoshopped us into it.
Standing on a corner.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I know. It's really funny.
Well, so, I mean, I would probably do that too.
Yeah, I know.
All right.
It's fun. But anyway, it's a great song. It's got a little environmental, but it's got the little country feel, so it's got a little Texan that I feel to it.
All right. Well, why don't we take a break and play those two songs,
sure.
And we'll come back.
Cool.
And we'll listen for the thank you for the great insight into both of those, so that we can we can sort of think about what you said when we hear these. Start off with the beautiful Falling Star from Carla Bonoff. This is WMFO in Medford.
Grab hold of, and And I'll be on this train and I won't be back again. I'm overqualified for any other ride I can think of. I got a PhD in sun and wind and rain. I had a reservation about every occupation I was ever on the brink of. Till the day my heart got given to the rhythm of the train. Station to station, coast to coast, not that much of anything in mind. No expectations, way less than most, but I wanted to see Winslow one more time. I'm walking on the Rhine, looking up and down this railroad. I'm walking on the Rhine, looking up and down this town. I'll bid adieu to the precious few I knew here. And I'll be on my way and I won't be back around. For them his favorite Cohen. He specialized in Western swing and zen. Station to station, coast to coast, not that much of anything in mind. No expectations, way less than most, as long as I got oxygen and wine. I keep on hearing about the disappearing ozone layer. I keep on hearing about the disappearing Greenland shells. And I keep on hearing all about the disappearing middle class. But I figure I'll be doing some disappearing myself.
WMFO Medford, 10:27 in the morning. Mike here, along with my guest Roberta Lamb, and we just heard a couple of your influences, Roberta. Carla Bonoff was first from 1977. That was Falling Star. How beautiful was that? And Jackson Browne followed up from 2014, Standing in the Breach record. That was Leaving Winslow. What great influences!
Amazing. I really get all kicked up when I hear the Jackson Browne.
That's kind of the whole idea.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, I mean, just really. Anything else that you want to add about those two after we've heard them? Because I can't tell you how I think that Falling Star is going to become another staple of my female vocalist. So I'm going to want to.
Well, if you have me back sometime, I'll play you my version.
What are you doing next week? But I love that. What a beautiful performance from her and the Jackson Browne one. You
it's
know,
fun.
Like you said, yeah, it's really fun.
Yeah.
It's really fun. So. How would you feel about treating us to a couple of live performances?
I would love that.
Yeah?
That's what we live for.
All right. So you've got a couple of songs that you told me that you wanted to do. And the first one is called Meet Me in the Moonlight. And these are all your songs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me a little bit about Meet Me in the Moonlight, what it's about, how to get written, all of that.
Well, this is my most recent song. I don't have a lot of songs that I've written so far, but I'm writing more and more all the time. It's just, I wanted to write something that was a love song, and I wanted to capture some of the New England and the winter. So we're losing the winter, but it has these references to the cold and winter that you know, being a Texan is all very sort of new and interesting to me. And it's just, I wanted something that had those, a little bit of a driving rhythm, but also going back to the sort of those diminished chords. And so you'll hear
yeah.
it. Yeah, I like that stuff.
Well, your timing is impeccable as we switch from winter to spring.
Right.
This is Roberta Lamb live in Studio A with Meet Me in the Moonlight at WMFO.
My days filled up with screens and schedules. I've learned most of life's fundamentals, but my heart keeps telling me to run away. Skipping out would be atrocious. Just keep the promise and stay in focus. Tonight's moon shadows blur, but amplify my longing for the love that you, just only you, can satisfy. I'm ready now to loosen my grip. Now I can let it all slip away. Come meet me in the moonlight. Together we'll get it right. Your light shines in the filtered glow as we just try to let it go. We'll wander by the frozen lake. The moonlit path will heal our heartache. We'll forget about the frostbite as we hold each other tight. Come meet me in the moonlight. Won't you meet me in the moonlight? Come on and meet me in the moonlight tonight. We've come to where the skaters glide. Just one misstep and we'd collide. But we found our way and we feel just fine. Together we can let it go. Just move into the rhythms we know. As we glide, I feel you sway and I respond. It feels so right and now we know. How could this feeling be wrong? We wonder now that the fear is gone, if this is a love we can count on. As the moon's glow surrounds us, I feel your warmth. Our love's much stronger than shattered, not melted, not scattered. My heart knows what to do. It's you I long to be with tonight. Come meet me in the moonlight. Together we'll get it right. Your light shines glow as we just try to let it go. We'll wander by the frozen lake. The moonlit path will heal our heartache. We'll forget about the frostbite as we hold each other tight. Come meet me in the moonlight. Won't you meet me in the moonlight? Come on and meet me in the moonlight tonight.
It's WMFO, Medford with Roberta Lamb. live in studio right with Meet Me in the Moonlight. I almost said Moot Me in the Meanlight, but I corrected myself. So much fun, I had to say it again.
It's fun.
But that's lovely. I see what you mean about that's not a simple pop song. I mean, it's a lot. The chords are very complex, and there's a lot of thought that went into that.
Well, thanks.
You know?
Yeah. I keep working on them. You know, some of these people that go to these challenges and do them in a day, like, I mean, I'm not there yet.
Nothing's ever done.
Well, I keep modifying them a little.
I mean, I get that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm kind of like that, I guess, too, in a different line of work, but I understand. But that was a terrific song. When did that come to you? When was that written?
In December.
Okay. Okay. Any particular reasoning behind why you decided to write that, or it came to you, or how did that happen?
It just was really something that I had to write. You know, it's just sort of very personal experience that just sort of wrote itself, actually.
Okay, those are the best ones.
You hear about those, and kind of it did. I love playing with words.
Oh, yeah.
It's fun.
Oh, yeah. So, would you treat us to one more?
Sure.
Live? What have you got?
So, I think I'm going to do a cover. This is a song that was written by Brandi Carlile, and Adele covered it, and she's another one of my influences. She's got a pretty big honkin' operatic voice, although a different range than mine. But anyway, I this is my own little version of Hiding My Heart.
Oh, what a beautiful song. All right, perfect. So, once again, Roberta Lamb, and this is Hiding My Heart, live in Studio A at WMFO.
Let's see. This is how the story went. I met someone by accident who blew me away. It was in the darkest of my days when you took my sorrow and you took my pain and buried them away. You buried them away. I wish I could lay down beside you when the day is done and wake up to your face against the morning sun. But like everything I've ever known, you'll disappear one day. So I'll spend my whole life hiding my heart away. I dropped you off at the train station, put a kiss on top of your head, and watched you wave. I watched you wave. Then I went on home to my skyscrapers and neon lights and waiting papers that I call home. I call that home. I wish I could lay down beside you when the day is done and wake up to your face against the morning sun. But like everything I have ever known, you'll disappear one day. So I'll spend my whole life hiding my heart away. Away, yeah. I woke up feeling heavy-hearted, going back to where I started. The morning rain. And though I wish that you were here on that same old road that brought me here, it's calling me home. It's calling me home. I wish I could lay down beside you when the day is done and wake up to your face against the morning sun. But like everything I've ever known, you'll disappear one day. So I'll spend my whole life hiding my heart away. I can't spend my whole life hiding my heart away. Thank you.
I'm sorry that had to end. I mean, I love Brandi Carlile, and I have to tell you, Roberta, it's brave to cover Brandi, because what a voice on her.
Yeah.
Right? And what a beautiful song. Really nice rendition of that.
Well, thank you.
How long have you been playing that one?
About 3 months.
I thought you were say 3 days.
Yeah, no.
You never know.
No, I've taken it around to some of the places, and people seem to respond to it. I don't know.
Oh, it's a beautiful song to start out with, and you know, if somebody covers a song, you can tell whether or not they really dig it. They mm-hmm. really love it, and yeah. you can tell you love it.
I love that song.
Yeah, it's a beautiful, yeah, right.
I got more, but, you know, we'll come another time, and we'll do more.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. Cool. So speaking of that, what's coming up for you? Are you going to do more recordings? Do you plan to, you know, put something out that's recorded that people could buy? I mean, or you just, because, you know, you're a live performer. That's what you do.
Well, I definitely want to build up the songs that I write for originals. So, mm-hmm. you know, I've got several so far, and I'm singing on Mother's Day. I'm going to be a feature at Article 24 in Brighton. I go on at 10 p.m.
I'll just say that I don't know if you saw my show post, but I listed everything.
I saw that. You're amazing. Thank you.
You're welcome.
But between now and then, I have to write like a kind of a what it's like to be a mother song. I have this Rebel in the Crib song that I wrote about my daughter. But that's not really, well, you know, but I definitely want to write a song about being a mother, and maybe my own mother.
Well, Rebel in the Crib, I mean, it's, you know.
Yeah, it's sort of funny. And then, let's see, I'm going to be playing this week on Thursday, I'm playing at Club Bohemia, which is in the basement below the Cantab Lounge in Central Square.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's going to be with some amazing performers. I'll play with Kenny Seltzer, will play with me, and some other people. You can go to the website, robertalamb.com, and see what that's about. So that's Thursday. The following Monday, the 25th, I think, I'll be playing in Lowell at the Hearing Room with a women singer-songwriter in the round event. Then I'm going to be doing some more things coming up. We'll be going to the Dedham Square Coffee House in April. That's going to be a big one. We really want to get a crowd for that. And there's lots of other things coming up. I'll be playing at the Colonial Inn and some other fun stuff. So it's all there. I can't remember it all right now. But recording. I'll get the recording going and eventually, I don't know. Who knows? I don't want to get too, you know, full of myself. Well, but maybe I'll get someplace where I can actually record and people really want to take my music with them.
All right. Well, while we're talking about that, you mentioned Kenny Seltzer.
Yes.
Now, let's give a shout out to him because he's your partner in
it's
crime.
A big shout out to Kenny, who has really been there every step of the way in this little transformation that's been going on. And we're having so much fun playing and gigging together. It's really a complete delight. And I'm on the shout outs, I also want to thank Gary Haggerty and Frank Walsh and people that, you know, all the wonderful people at the venues where I've played who've been so wonderful and really encouraging me to do more. And, you know, friends and family who've come out and schlepped out in lousy weather to come and support us. And
means a lot, doesn't it?
And the community of musicians. I really want to say there's a big one. I'm in several sort of scenes, and a lot of them are just wonderful people who really make sacrifices to help, you know, pay it forward to the people that are coming along. So hope I can do the same.
All right, good. I'm glad you did that. All those people deserve to be recognized. Well, why don't we, I'm going to play a little public service announcement, because if I don't, they'll get mad at me. And then once that's done, we'll come back and we'll play some of your recorded music so we can hear some of that.
Great, thank you.
All right, we'll be back in 30 at WMFO.
Whenever you drive the car, there is always an unseen, unwelcome passenger with you. That passenger is danger. The danger of a traffic accident. Unfortunately, every person seems to have the absurd notion that he bears a charmed life, that no traffic accident can happen to him. But it can, and too often it does. So when you're behind that wheel, don't take chances. Obey all traffic rules. Drive safely for life, your life, and the lives of us.
Hi, it's WMFO Medford, 1043. Mike here, back for a few more minutes with my guest, Roberta Lamb, who just treated us to a couple of live performances here. And I want to sort of segue over to a couple of recorded songs so we can hear your work when you get in the studio and you're able to do that. So we picked a couple of songs. You touched on the first one when we were talking about that a second ago, about your child, Rebel in the Crib. So that's an interesting title. Tell us about that song and that title and your child.
Well, my daughter is sort of, they say kids sort of come out with their personalities, and certainly mine did. Mm-hmm. And this,
I wonder where she got that.
Yeah, I've heard that. People have said, you know, it's not so much about her. Mm-hmm. But anyway, she's very spunky, and she's really thinks for herself and doesn't follow trends, and she's That's amazing. Great. And she just came out that way. Honestly, you just observed it, just her personality from within 12 hours of birth. She was just kind of amazing.
She's looking up at you going, Ma, I'm thirsty. Where's the water?
Oh, believe me, it was like purple faced. It was crazy. But anyway, and it's a blues song, and I've kind of wanted to learn 12 bar blues, and I don't know that this fits all the criteria, but it's my goal to learn more blues and maybe even slide. And then Can't Let Go is
and kind that's of, with you and Kenny.
Yeah, that so you guys have got to hear Kenny, and we've been having a lot of fun. You'll hear it in our playing, and you know we just have fun doing that one. It's a great song cover, but they, you know, both basically kind of bluesy songs, and I don't know. I'll eventually get away from some of the more lyrical things and go towards something a little rougher.
And you mentioned Can't Let Go as a cover. Who's that a cover of? I thought you'd know right away.
I should know this right off. Blah, 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 blah,
or you can think about it when
I'll
I play
think
it.
About
if you
it.
Want.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, we're going to start first with Roberta and the very intriguing title, Rebel in the Crib. It's WMFO.
Here's a song I wrote about my daughter. It's called Rebel in the Crib. It was time to come through. She was due any day now, getting it done. To heck with the fun, waiting for my little baby. She was the rebel in the crib, threw her mama into hay fib. Rebel in the crib. I read all the right books, hope she get my good luck. So far from serene, she went, oh, I wish she was hungry. Before she was verbal, her face turned bright purple. The rebel in the crib, refusing to sleep, made us all weep. If we didn't rob and cajole her, by the time she was one and had found her right thumb, I was wiser but so much older. With them all. Ooh, she loved baseball. She beamed her grandpa, nearly broke his jaw. Miss Blackson, our shoeless Joe Jackson. She was the rebel in the crib, threw her mama in the hay fib. A rebel in the crib. As she grew tall, a life force never wavered. She led her peers and by teachers. She was favored. She found her voice and rallied at the timid. But by then her mama was ready to be committed. A sweet wildebeest was charming at least. Long as she was fed and well rested, she ruled the house, not up to my spouse. Never could say no to his darling dynamo. Looking fine in a bit, the queen of women's lip, the rebel in the crib. She was the rebel in the crib, threw her mama in the hay fib. The rebel in the crib. She was the rebel in the crib, threw her mama in the hay fib. The rebel in the crib. Ooh.
WMFO Medford. Mike here at 10:51 in the morning with Roberta Lamb. Hi, Roberta.
Hi, Mike. So I figured out who wrote okay. that song. So Lucinda Williams recorded it famously, but it was actually written by
Randy Weeks. Yeah. Yeah, and From the Car Wheels on a Gravel Road
right.
record. What
it's
a
awesome.
Great record.
She's yeah. amazing. I love her.
Amazing. I know. Cool. All right, and it was great to hear you and your
with
partner
Kenny.
In crime
yes,
there. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was very, very cool. All right, so we've got a few more minutes, so I'm very happy you'll be able to play another track. And you've got one called Rocky Soil. A little bit about that one, if you can. It's original, right?
It's one I yeah. It's actually the first one I wrote.
Really?
Yeah, about 7 months now it's been. Only because I got asked if I wrote originals in order to get a gig, and I said, "Oh, of course I do." You know what?
Well, yeah, that's what you
that's,
do
right,
when you
yeah.
go for a job interview,
yeah,
whatever.
Right.
So sure,
course.
I can do that.
Anyway, it is sort of ostensibly about gardening and real estate and the sort of trickery and chicanery that goes on around that. But it's really, as you listen more carefully, you'll hear that it's a little bit about finding inner peace through the troubles that one encounters. Kind of a life lesson-y song.
Excellent. Okay. One more time, live in Studio A, this is Roberta Lamb with Rocky Soil at WMFO.
House lust was setting in, and I wanted a place to call home. A garden lush but manicured would be my next milestone. Driving by the trellis, I found myself so jealous, just wanting my own footprint in the sun. The rocky soil hinted at the seller's rush to sell, to dig a hole and build a fence. But sellers never tell. The mulched and watered annuals were just misleading botanicals, staged for dreamers and believers just like me. Dig in to discover what lies undercover, to make some sense blunders. That's where my dreams are unfurled. They say hope springs eternal, but then I discovered through rocky soil I'd find some peace. Drips from the compost enriched the soil day by day, left me sore and weak, losing hope for my hideaway. But give me time and a glass of wine, standing back I'd see the change. Seedlings had laid roots for the long. My surprise, the soil got better, and random thoughts began to subside. And by digging and scraping the weeds that were waiting, I was somehow renewed and revived. Dig in to discover what lies undercover, to make some sense of the world, to potter and wander with joys and with blunders. That's where my dreams are unfurled. They say hope springs eternal, found my peace.
One more time, it's Roberta Lamb. I keep doing it because I have a friend, Lang, last name. As I was listening to the lyrics there, I understand the whole concept of peace through gardening. That's probably part of the whole meaning there, too.
It is.
Yeah.
Well, I love to do it. You know, it's very grounding.
Yeah. Wow. Ah, I see what you did there.
What?
Grounding, soil.
Oh, yeah. Right. Of course.
See, you're better than you even knew.
Yeah.
But that was lovely. That was another original. Well, it's been such a pleasure meeting you and having you come in today. And I hope that as you continue to, you know, figure out if you want to have some recordings, you'll come in and share them with us, whenever you're ready.
Well, thank you so much, Mike. It's been a pleasure working with you. And
it's been great.
It's really fun. And this whole vibe around here is awesome. So thanks to everybody at WMFO. Tune in, live music. You guys are awesome. Shout out to everybody here.
Thank you so much. Thank you. So at 10:58 in the morning, we're just about on the cusp of Something About the Women, and DJ Ryan D is going to be sitting in today. So I'm going to leave you with one of the most rock and rolliest females that I know. It's PJ Harvey and Sheila in the Gig. My name is Mike. I will be here next week at 9. Thanks so much for listening, and thanks, Roberta. Really had a wonderful time.
Thank you. My pleasure.
All right, bye-bye.
My child.